from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
11 o'clock hour, Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp. Got Q producing the show this week. We're about 15 minutes away from the trash of the day. Keeping an eye on the trade deadline. 5 o'clock tonight across Major League Baseball. We know the Royals have made two moves to this point that counts as this kind of trade deadline window. Hunter Harvey, the reliever from the Nationals, and then Lorenzen.
And I just Michael Lorenzen.
I was about to say Matt and Michael Lorenzen from the Rangers.
You're thinking Matt Araiza from yesterday.
Yeah, when someone also, real quick, someone with your tweet last night responded to that on mine and said, are we sure Cody deleted the photos?
Deleted the photos
and so
Matt Araiza practice.
Based off your tweet, they were worried you didn't. Between the Bobby Wood Jr. Home run and that, they were a little worried.
No, those
for those that don't know, yesterday we were at training camp and there was someone randomly 2 hours after practice jogging on the football field shirtless in Chiefs shorts. And we were trying to figure out who it was. Cody walked over there and it was Matt Araiza, the Chiefs punter. That's the background.
Anyway, I went up and talked to him find out.
You did. And Cody took photos. So
that was before I talked to him. I deleted those after.
What are the Royals going to do before 5 o'clock? I really would be surprised, man, if there's not at least one move. They've already got out and got two arms, which if we back up a little bit and we all acknowledge they need bullpen help, and other people have mentioned they could use a bat, and I don't disagree, but they've already gotten two bullpen arms. Are they going to go get a third? I mean, that when the dust settles.
I mean, do you still feel like the bullpen's one of the 15 best in baseball?
I would be fine with them getting another arm today.
Yeah, that's the problem.
You know, and I still don't think they're getting the top tier guys. We've seen even on the bats, like Lane Thomas, who was a name some people wanted that's now in Cleveland. They gave up, and their farm system, if you believe the rankings, is better than the Royals. And they gave up, I think, their number six prospect in their system. He might have been, I don't know if this is fair,
second
in the Royals. You know, would you have been okay with that? People didn't like that Hunter Harvey required Caden Wallace. So I think the Royals are doing a nice job of walking that fine line of
dipping their toe in the water, but trying not to go overboard,
but not overpaying. And a couple of the models for that determine some of these trades that are out there said the Guardians in that example overpaid. So would you rather that happen? I'm fine with how they've been handling it to this point, but I do think they need one more move. If it's another bullpen arm, great. I still wouldn't mind another bat, but it's just tricky. Like, what's the kind of bat you're getting at this point in time before the deadline?
Yeah, I was, you know, and if it's a bat on the level of, like, let's say Tommy Pham, someone who essentially is a fourth outfielder but plays every day for different people.
And he's off the market.
Depending on the day. Yeah, he's gone. It's that level of bat. I'm not looking for a middle of the order guy anymore. Here's where I've started to shift a little bit, and then I've gotten 2 more weeks worth of information since the last time we had this conversation, and I told you I would have preferred a bat versus a reliever. Now, they've added 2 relievers since that time, since we had that conversation. And here's the problem, is that right now, if you told me, as it currently sits with the relievers they have, including the ones they added, and let's just call Lorenzen a starter or reliever, and I'm just assuming either Lorenzen or Marshall be out of the bullpen. And Jonathan Bolin has been pitching better out of the bullpen, by the way. He hasn't been starting anymore. He's been in AAA in the bullpen.
Okay.
And has a pretty good swing and miss rate in his time there. I think it's next year. I think if you ask me right now, what's more likely the rest of the way? The Royals have a top 10 offense or they have a top 10 bullpen? The answer is offense.
Well,
because Bobby Witt Jr. is incredible.
Sure.
And they still have Vinny and Salvi. And last night they tried Massey in the leadoff spot. So they're still trying to figure some things out. They've tried Massey and Frazier and Hampson and Michael Garcia and kind of everybody in front of those guys in order to get some hits. And I understand that it's not perfect, but the odds are just in the favor of right now of the hitting. Because Bobby is so white hot, there's a chance that they can have a really good offense the rest of the way just because of four players.
But that's been the case all year anyway, right? I mean, other than starting pitching, it's been the offense. I mean, the bullpen has had its issues since the first week of the season. You know, there's been flashes at times where you felt better about one pitcher over the next. And then just as you start to get to a point where you're like, oh, maybe that guy should get all the high leverage, then he struggles. And I'm talking
every
about
every reliever had a bad inning, I think, this entire week.
Mm-hmm.
Stratton got blown up. Schreiber got blown up. Or not, he left injured. But like Harvey didn't have a good inning. Bubich is the only, like, Bubich might be the only person in the last 7 days or 7 games for the Royals who hasn't had an inning where you're like, ugh.
And what has he pitched? I haven't looked it up. What, 5 innings?
Yeah,
totally. Max?
Yeah, so like, I mean, he got through a week's worth of work himself. And so, yeah, it's hard now the more and more I watch Bobby play and some of this, like, where I think, I'll say this, where at least on offense, they know what they are. They know who they are, what they are, who to use, what not. And look, you might disagree with it, but I can tell you with 100% certainty when Garrett Hampson is getting ready to take an at-bat for this team. I know when and how and why they want to use him. So, like, they are intentional with it. They're not guessing. In the bullpen, doesn't it feel like they're still guessing? Like, they're just being like, I hope it's this guy today. And I get it. Like, last night, people were upset when they saw MacArthur come back out for the ninth.
So, I don't think it's matchup-driven, right? But also, even last night, they still went back to MacArthur in the ninth inning. At that point in time, because Hunter Harvey's day-to-day with some back issues, it sounds like maybe he's going to be good to go today, if all no setback or anything, if the back doesn't tighten up on him.
Yeah.
So he should be back. But last night, once they got to the ninth, though, other than Bubich, who else was going to pitch in the ninth last night, though? Harvey was not available. I mean, Bubich was it. He was the only other option, really.
And I told you I was fine if they want to try Bubich.
And they still went with MacArthur, and Bobby Wood Jr. had two great plays. Otherwise, it's likely two singles in that moment, but the result is the result. But I saw a lot of that. Like, even when he still had a clean inning, because there was some great defense.
It was clean because Bobby Wood Jr. was incredible.
Correct. Right.
And he made a good defensive play. All three defensive plays had to be pretty good.
Yeah.
In order for it to be smooth. But also, like, some of this is playing the long game. You want MacArthur to feel like he can go in there and get three outs for you. They're not always going to be in the ninth. You and I do. I do not think if they need a save in game one of a wild card series and it's against 2, 3, 4 in the order. I'll be honest. I don't think it's MacArthur. If you make me forward project game one of the wild card series and it's 2, 3, 4 of the order against whoever, the Twins.
I agree. I agree. But that means somebody else has to step up too, though. It's not as
for sure. Someone's got
to
earn it.
It's very easy to. Any sport, it's very easy to demote somebody or take someone away from their current role. It's very easy to say, right? We can all do that. It's much tougher to find out the solution of who that player is. In this case, who could be the high leverage guy. I think, again, we already saw Hunter Harvey's getting the high leverage. He just, unfortunately, the other day when he was walking guys, it's because he had some back problems and back stiffened up or whatever, and hopefully he's going to be fine. And we'll see if they add someone today. I will fill you in. These are just a couple of the rumors that are out there right now. Some names, we have people texting in asking about Brent Rooker. It looks like at this point, the expectation is maybe he doesn't get moved suddenly.
That seems to be the rumor that the A's might stand put.
Some other ones. These come from various outlets. This is from Yahoo Sports as well. In terms of names that are familiar, I'm not saying the Royals were ever going to trade for this individual, but still, just it was a name that we're all familiar with. It says that the White Sox are now unlikely to move Luis Robert Jr., who has been banged up this year for the White Sox. We saw him last night. We'll see him again today. But if he were to get pulled during the game, or I guess it'd be before the game, the trade would have to happen. Something to watch a little bit later on. But that's from Yahoo Sports, that the expectation is that could not that likely won't happen. Also, Trevor Rogers, Brian De La Cruz in play for Miami. So you could see Trevor Rogers, a lefty. Maybe he gets moved. His market reportedly.
Is anyone left from the Rays to trade?
I feel like they've traded everybody, right?
Is there anyone left on their roster?
Yeah. Also, this one, we know the Royals, according to reports, have been talking to the Angels a lot about multiple pieces. This from John Morosi. The Angels left-handed pitcher Tyler Anderson, one name to watch. He's among the, now he's a starter, though, so probably not in play for the Royals, but he's someone, I'm just talking in general now, not specific to the Royals. He's under contract for $13 million next year, so there's some thought there. Also, John Heyman saying the Yankees do not match up for Garrett Crochet, the talented pitcher for the White Sox, who is top two in strikeouts in all of the big leagues this year, but Yankees were told several days ago, quote, they don't match up.
Like they don't have
for what the White Sox are looking for, either positionally or remember the Yankees just traded away some pieces for Jazz Chisholm, among others. So that's just some of the rumors and notes that are out there. At that point, the Marlins also expected to continue to sell Tanner Scott, drawing significant interest.
We'll talk more about Bobby Wood Jr. and the trade deadline here in just a little bit. I did just receive an email that I thought might be of interest to you.
Of me? To me?
It is. Well, you seem to be interested in my future teaching career.
Oh, boy.
The University of Missouri... background verification request for Cody Tapp. You think I can pass a background check? What comes up in those, just out of curiosity?
Oh, boy.
Because they've officially sent me the email requesting to run a background check for me, including 10 years of previous addresses, the highest completed post-secondary education, and some other stuff. Some personal, you know, some... There appears to be maybe they want to know my credit.
Oh, they're worried about you taking bribes for grades.
What, students?
They're saying, oh, man, poor credit, and he wants bribes for grades. Why else? I mean, honestly, why else did I need to check credit report for a professor? Is that the reason?
Mm. I mean, it must be.
Like,
right?
I get if you're in
like
banking.
Quentin was failing my class, and I could take $1,000 from him to pass him?
I get if you're in, you work at a bank, you're a bank teller. They got
failing.
A bank teller or whatever, they got to, you have to have that. You can't get hired if you don't have X amount of whatever your score is or whatever, but. For professor, I'm surprised. Background check, you tell me, should they be concerned? I mean, there's some shady things that have been discussed on this show before, but are you background? I mean, you had to have a background check to get hired here.
Yeah, I think, did I? You had to pass a background check to get hired here?
I think a standard one, I think. Maybe not. Oh, cool. I don't know. Well, we're all working here, so I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing. Q, what about you, man?
I don't remember if I had to send anything like background check wise. Now, I was in school, you know, when I started my internship here. So I don't know if that, I guess they figure you're in school, you're good enough.
Yeah.
I mean, no, did they double check to make sure you were in school?
Yeah. Text line saying criminal background check. Of course, I get why they would do a criminal background check on a teacher for obvious reasons. But I don't know why they need to check your. I don't know
maybe
why
they don't actually check it.
I don't know why they need to check your credit score for a professor gig.
What's funny is I haven't even passed this and now I'm getting emails for pre-semester gatherings. Should I go to that? What's your vibe on that? Should I go to a pre-semester gathering?
Who's at this pre-semester
gathering? Other people in the media department.
Oh, I think that'd be a good thing for you. You know, interact with the other professors.
But it's at the Whole Foods. Well, you know, they got like a bar and stuff in the one down by UMKC.
Why wouldn't you do this? Do you not want to become part of the team?
I don't know any of these people. I know like one person.
Yeah, but that's the point, isn't it? For you to know, maybe you get some ideas. Maybe they give you some advice. I think you should go. You're a new staff member, potentially.
Looks like there's about 25 TMKC. People invited. I take it back. I know like three people.
Yeah, someone says they should send your tweet from last night talking about erections. That should be sent to the school.
Why?
They might be a little concerned about that.
Why are you trying to get me in trouble?
That might be... Well, you tweeted it. It's out there.
I'm going to have to be careful now that there would be students looking at my social media.
Well, if they saw that tweet, they'd be like, okay, all right.
Okay, Professor Tapp.
We all love Bobby Wood Jr. as well, but we don't need to be talking about that.
Do you need to cleanse your Twitter account? Do you need to go back like 6, 7 years?
Cody's
going to
go private. Cody's going to
go private. It'd take way too long to clean all of it up.
He would have to just go private. He can't clean up his... You know how much filth is on there? You know, he'd have to go private.
I think it's funny he thinks that anybody going to UMC just casually has $1,000 they could use to bribe their professor.
No, not anybody. I'm just saying, like, some people might. I don't know what people... I don't know. What do bribes go for these days, you know?
What do bribes go for?
I don't know. This might be it. You sure they're doing a credit check? Someone says, are they checking your credit, or do they just disclose the backgrounds conducted in accordance with fair credit?
I don't know why a
school would need your credit report.
It could just be that. I'll be honest. I've only barely now seen the email. I haven't actually filled out the form.
This is someone that works in HR. They said, you're a resident HR listener. We appreciate that.
Are they just adding loopholes to make sure you're serious about the job? So they just give you things to do?
Well, they have to do a background check.
My class still needs a student in it.
Yeah, I don't think the credit score thing's happening. The background check just is very obvious why they would want that for any job, especially if you're a professor on a college campus.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you're adjunct or whatever.
Adjunct.
Adjunct, yeah.
Did you have any adjunct professors during your time?
Oh, yeah. I had two. At least two. That happens. I mean, that's a very common thing.
I know, it's super common.
Very few. I mean, they're not all tenured professors and stuff like that.
You want to come teach with me? If there's another class, do you want to teach?
If you need a guest speaker, you know.
Will you teach a class for me if I'm just gone for some reason?
If you're gone for some reason, you know. If you're out for like Lamar Jackson is every day at training camp these days, then maybe I could fill in.
Yeah. Just one class. Wear something, you know, like decent and, you know, you'll be fine.
Oh, I'm more about the dress code of being a professor. I think I'll be okay.
I can't wear a t-shirt and be a professor, right? No one's going to take me seriously unless I wear buttons.
I think you got to go polo or a long sleeve shirt at minimum.
Yeah, I think you're probably right.
I'm not saying you got to go khakis and long sleeve dress shirts, but you know, yeah, you got to look like you know what the hell you're talking
about.
But
here's the thing. This is what I wear every day.
Wear a 610 polo or something then.
Yeah, that's probably.
Advertise the show. You need to get us 15 new listeners out of this class. All 15. One of the assignments, they have to critique the show. Make them listen.
Someone said after the low remix, they should probably ask for a drug test. I passed that, I think.
Yes. The second text from the 660, yes, that is one of the reasons why they need a background check. Yes.
To make sure that hadn't happened at like some other stage? This is nonsense.
Yeah.
All right. Well, either way, I'm just letting you know. They're looking into me even further. They're digging deeper.
Well, that means you're getting close to being hired.
I think
that's a good thing for you.
I think so. I told you, second class is canceled. But other than that,
do they know that
we're rolling? No, but they don't. They leave that up to you. I mean, actually, that's the last place left it to me. I don't actually know the protocol at this university.
How's the class going? Well, he already canceled the first one.
The second one. I'm like, why did he cancel? He went to Vegas. But wait, it was for work.
Mm-hmm.
It's different.
Cody's going to be the radio equivalent to the professor. What's the movie? Unfortunately, the actors ruined any movie he's in now. Kevin Spacey, along with the blackjack. He takes the 21? Student. Yeah, that'll be you vote for radio. Somehow you'll end up doing that. But radio edition.
Get kids in trouble.
Radio edition. Yeah.
Over under 0.5 students and end up working here in the next 5 years.
Working like full time or a part-time
like
job?
Like someone tries to come work here.
Well, I still think we should have interns again, and this would be a perfect pipeline for internships.
Just anybody who's in my class?
Yeah, right now our internships are on hold, but I think an internship pipeline would be in play.
Okay. I'll keep it in mind.
Trash of the day.
All right, let's get to this one. Has to do with some food and court cases. You might have seen there was a movie about this. You filled me in on the movie portion. I guess it came out in 2023 called Flamin' Hot. But there's a court case trying to settle a spicy dispute.
Oh.
Who invented Flamin' Hot Cheetos?
Oh, I thought it was going to go a different way.
Well, it could have, but it did not
after
today.
After everything we've talked about in the show today,
yesterday was the hottest show of Cody and Gold's history. Not today. A former PepsiCo executive suing the company, saying it destroyed his career after questioning his claim that he invented the popular flavor of the Cheeto snack. PepsiCo said Thursday has no comment on the lawsuit, which was filed July 18th. So the background here, according to the lawsuit, this gentleman was working for PepsiCo as a janitor at a Frito-Lay plant in California back in 1977. He was the son of a Mexican immigrant and grew up in a migrant labor camp. One day, a machine in the plant broke down, leaving a batch of unflavored Cheetos. He took the batch home, dusted them with chili powder, trying to replicate the flavor of a popular popular grilled seasoned corn. So, in 1991, he asked for a meeting with the CEO of the company to pitch spicy Cheetos. He said he was confident they would be a hit. He was granted the meeting, he presented it, and they sent him on speaking engagements, actively promoted his story. But in the meantime, he claims the company's research and development shut him out of any discussions. Next thing you know, Flamin' Hot Cheetos pop up in 1992, and he eventually became VP of marketing. But he wants credit for inventing the spicy Cheetos, and they said no.
Financial credit? Or like verbal credit?
He says, according to PepsiCo, turned on him in 2021, cooperating with the Los Angeles timepiece that claimed others in the company were already working on snacks when he approached them, and that they, not him, came up with the name Flamin' Hot. I think he just wants, it hurt his speaking career and other potential opportunities. So he probably wants past earnings
So he can go and talk about being an innovator, and now he was working as a janitor. Now he did. Just give him credit.
And he just wants
the
credit.
You're going to profit off of it. Who cares?
He wants the credit for it. I will say, though, if you have a meeting with your boss, you come up with the idea, but then in a food company where there's R&D involved, I guess he just didn't want them claiming 100% it wasn't him. Can't they just say he was on the team that helped? He wasn't the guy.
But if he went from janitor to executive, he must have been a pretty big reason why they went down that road, okay? I don't think they just accidentally bump you up the chain that high. and you not have nothing to do with it. Now, look, I've never seen the movie. They just play trailers.
They're not saying he didn't do a good job. They're just saying that he's not the one who came up with the idea.
Ooh. Isn't this similar to like when you're working software engineering and you go home and you work on your own time using a given computer from your company, but you develop your own software?
Like if you're using their Cheetos, I mean, I guess, but also like, what's the, you know, like I understand the financial part of it, but like, I don't know. So I can do a little speaking. We can't give the guy a little credit.
I would just, I mean, it sounds, I don't know what, I mean.
Shared credit seems like enough to go on a speaking tour. I got to be honest. I don't think you have to be the sole inventor.
I feel like that's how it probably was anyway. I mean, even if he came up with the idea, they still have to do research on it. So therefore, you get the idea, but I don't know. As long as I don't remember Flaming Hot Cheetos in 1992. I don't remember them before 2000. Yeah, I don't know if it was a regional thing at first.
I don't remember them until.
Maybe like, it was regional at first.
Like 10 years ago, maybe.
Oh, yeah, it's been more than that. I mean, we had we had those when we were in like junior high or whatever. Yeah. So I think, it, you know, in the 2000s. But yeah, 1995 or. Like,
anybody remember
those? I mean, those? I was four, so I don't know. But
I was 10, but I still don't remember them. My kids never got into that craze. They haven't. They haven't skipped over to
Flamin' Hot Cheeto person. Cheetos, whatever, occasionally. They're a mess. But the Flamin' Hot ones, not really my thing, man.
You don't like, do you like any other spicy food?
It depends on what level. Very mild level of spice.
If you're at a...
Like some of the Cajun seasoning and stuff, sure. But like hot, like I'm not going to Buffalo Wild Wings and getting the second hottest wing on the menu. Absolutely not.
But you're not getting the one that's just like, what about like salsa at a Mexican restaurant? When they put two down,
kick,
they say this one's,
kick, but
they
not
say this
the,
one's hotter.
A little kick, but not the, is it the green one? One of them that's like super spicy, I'm out.
Okay.
It can have a little kick.
It's good. Someone said it freaking worked. Product developed for the company that hired him. And look, again, I think
that's what I'm saying. I think he it's at his job. He worked on the team that helped develop it. So I don't know what he like. If you came up with an idea at your company and it was part of your job was to come up with the ideas, what do you want them to build you a statue? Like you're doing your job.
I think maybe the contextually is right. Like if you give him credit, then he might be able to use that in future litigation. Mm. Like, how about if I give you credit, but you can't sue me for like a portion of all proceeds on the product. Yeah. We compensated you for your time here, an executive now you can go do motivational speeches.
So it says no turbo sauce at Jefferson's. Yeah, no, there's plenty of other good sauces I would have at Jefferson's. I know, have you had the turbo sauce?
I don't mind. It just depends on my mood. Yeah. I like spicy food.
Plenty of other good sauces there.
Someone says you guys should do a version of Hot Ones on air. We actually got offered the other day, and I forgot to mention it to you.
Yes,
the
Rob has tried to offer me a year ago.
Spice and Foods was up at training camp the other day, the one who did the hot sauces for us when we were in Radio Row. And they said if we wanted, we could go try Da Bomb. They'd give us a t-shirt, which is the hottest one they do on Hot Ones.
I thought you were talking, because Rob wanted us to do something on their show like a year ago.
Yeah.
Here's my issue with the idea of doing this at training camp.
Where it's already
when
hot.
It's heat index 105, you think I want maybe the hottest sauce possible? That seems like an awful combination.
Risky decision.
Your body heat's already increased, and then you're gonna add another 5 degrees, 10 degrees to it.
I don't know.
That's the trash of the day. Up next, Chiefs Red Half Hour. We'll get back into talking about George Karlaftis and some of the expectations with him. Plus, one change now with kickoffs I thought was going to be an advantage for Kansas City. May not be anymore. We'll explain why next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission. Next.
Chiefs Kingdom. This is Mitch Holtis, and welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour on Cody and Gold. Every day at 11:30 on your official broadcast partner, the Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
Thank you, Mitch. Voice of the Chiefs. First preseason game coming up in just a few weeks. Here in Mitch Holtis over on 106.5 The Wolf. We've got the video stream up on Facebook, Twitch, YouTube.
And it changed in one single commercial break.
Look how professional it now looks, even more so than it already did. Now you have a background behind me.
It does say
Comcast.
The 610 Sports Radio logo and Comcast. And I'll be honest, this is the best your lighting has ever been.
It actually looks really good. I'm watching it. It looks good.
The issue we've constantly had with your camera and lighting is that you're backlit.
Text line.
It's a bad way to be lit.
On Twitch says, holy, all caps, you guys made it big time now.
Oh, yeah. That's a professional-ass banner behind you. Could use a little steamer.
Hey, it came from training camp, all right?
Yeah.
It was rolled up. You and I were in charge of setting it up and tearing it down at camp. So it's going to get a little wrinkled.
I didn't roll it up professionally. I just kind of rolled it up and called it a day.
Okay. Well, I'm glad. I'm glad we got that tinker. Thanks to Cam, one of our guys for promotions, from getting that set up. Let's talk Chiefs football, though, because we mentioned this in passing yesterday. We really didn't dive deeper into it, but Dave Tobe the other day, Chiefs special teams coordinator, had mentioned that that Butker is going to kick off. And we joke because normally, like, well, no kidding. But because of the rule change,
spent some time.
There was thought that one leg up they could have would be the ability to have a Justin Reed or an LRZ kickoff, because you want the ability to go down and tackle. It's essentially, you would almost have an extra person being able to tackle, because the new rule, nobody can move except for the kicker and then the returner until the ball hits the ground or is touched. So you want to have the ability for somebody, if it's kicking off, let's say it was Reed, you would want him to be able to sprint down there and get a head start, essentially, and be able to make a tackle, whereas you don't want Butker making tackles. So did they lose some of the advantage we thought they were going to have with this new kickoff? We were praising them all offseason, how they figured out a way to do this. Did they lose that?
Yeah, I think the pressure's back on Tobe now, because the easy advantage already existed, Gold. The easy advantage was, what if we have an extra tackler where other teams don't, because we have a guy in Justin Reed that we can actually trust to do the job? I've told you, I think the reason why they moved off of that is we are undervaluing the amount of consistency it takes to put the ball generally in the area it needs to be. Okay, we're underestimating how consistency really matters there. And I think Justin Reed could provide that, because he is better than he should be at kicking, considering the fact he's an NFL safety. Now they're back to scheming it, because I'll be honest, we ran the numbers, and this is why I thought it was an advantage before. The difference between starting at the 25 and the 30, or the 30 and the 35, is a 5 to 7% difference in scoring. That is a massive swing. That means points over the course of the year. And for an NFL, you know, like an NFL season goal, as you and I both know, that oftentimes is settled by a single score in an NFL game, the difference between giving someone 5 yards, which increases their chance of scoring significantly, makes a big difference. So now I just think the pressure's on Tobe. I don't think they have an advantage other than they better have better schemes in order to cover the kick than everybody else. Better have more creative ways of getting your tacklers free, or shedding blockers, or a million other things, because now it's just going to be who can ever line up the best. Now it's not the advantage of, we have an extra tackler, you don't.
This doesn't, because I was like, okay, is this something that you could change midseason? Like, this, does this not feel like something that you wouldn't make that change? There's other elements of your team, of course, you can make a switch midseason. But if they don't like how it's going, could they suddenly switch to Justin Reed kicking off midseason? I think the answer is no, only because a player that's not normally a kicker, I think you do need the training camp for a Justin Reed type to learn to kick, and he's obviously on the NFI list. And so I don't know if we'll be sitting here after a first month and be like, oh, we don't like it, it's not working out well, and then Justin Reed suddenly starts kicking. Do you disagree? Like, I don't know if that's a mid-season switch.
I think Butker's the kicker for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
I'm with you. I don't think they'll risk it now. Justin Reed's in the final year of his contract, and he's going to go into the season with a quad injury.
Yeah.
They're not going to say, well, he feels fine now, let's see if he can kick. Not unless they're getting absolutely cooked. Like, if they're getting fried on the kick returns, they might do something a little bit different. But just as long as it's going about league average like everyone else, I have a hard time seeing that they would make that shift.
I agree. Some of the text lenses, you want Jay Reid blowing up special teamers? Nah. Look, that was the initial plan.
It was.
Before he was on the NFI list, was that they wanted the ability to tackle. I get what you're saying. You don't want your starter on special teams typically. But as a defensive guy in this role, that would have been potentially the advantage that they would have had. The ability to do it. Now, yeah, you would rather it be a backup, but if he could kick as well, that was just the whole point of it. But unfortunately, it looks like it's just going to be Butker, and so we'll see. I mean, Butker's not going down making tackles, nor should
I think
he.
They would prefer he stay the hell out of the way, but that puts you at risk.
Yeah.
Because the kickers are going to be like a kicker now. Gold, it might be twice a year where they might have to like play hero, right? Where the kicker is the last man standing between them and the end zone.
You don't want that. Once a year, there's always a kicker, a punter that gets knocked out for the season because he tried, there was a Rams punter, a kicker last year.
But now it feels like it might be like 10 times. Like, I mean, they're just going to be involved more. And it's better than giving up is the risk better than giving up the touchdown or the yard? Like, it's just going to, I don't know. And it's not exactly the same as the UFL's rules. There's slight variations and slight differences from the way that they were doing it, Gold. So we really don't know. This is the biggest unknown I can remember going into an NFL season in forever. You and I do not know what exactly that will look like. There's a lot of variance that could come with it, so I can't tell you one way or the other if it's going to have a massive impact.
913-586-7610, Jay Southland, tow service text line from the 816. What are we talking about? Yeah, Reid can kick in an emergency. He's not going to take over a finesse kicker spot. He ain't that guy. I know he's not now because he's hurt, but we're talking about the new kickoff rule, not kicking 45-yard field goals. We're talking about the new kickoff rule. That was part of the plan, so it's not actually, what are we talking about? That was the plan, man.
Like, until he got hurt.
That was what they were going to have him do. They thought there was going to be an advantage there. And so that's why we're bringing up the conversation on it. Yeah, we're not talking about your normal kickers. Harrison Butker's the kicker for this team. And yes, in an emergency, Justin Reid could kick an extra point or just go for two if you needed to with Mahomes. But there was thought, not from just from us, like from the Chiefs, that Justin Reid or even LRZ we're going to actually kick off, as in being the kickoff specialist. And it looks like that's not the direction they're headed.
I will say, I think it was Sean Payton. I want to get the coach right. I think it was Sean Payton. He said he was going to have to dedicate like 15%, 20% more than they had to the new kickoff rule. So he's like, we're losing team periods. Mm-hmm. Like, there's going to be some other drill or some other thing we like doing in practice that we won't be doing like normal because we have to spend extra time. And this is where I think the Chiefs could be hurt by this. They had spent a good chunk of their OTAs and their off seasons going under the presumption that Justin Reid would be their kicker or that they might be able to take advantage of it in that sense. And now they got to revert back to normal. And I understand you'd be like, well, normal, but normal kick. It's not normal kickoffs.
Yeah.
It's a completely different system. It's a completely different blocking scheme. It's a completely different kick style. It's all different. And I'm not saying Harrison Butker wasn't practicing kicking this entire time, but I do think that they were going under the presumption that when Reid was healthy, that was their actual plan. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm overblowing it. But they spent their entire offseason talking about it, Gold. Justin Reid was in all the practices. He was in all the warmups. I don't think they would have wasted valuable Harrison Butker reps in that scenario if they weren't serious about it. I think it was just Reid got hurt, and they had to go back to Butker because they didn't trust LRZ to do it. They gave LRZ a shot. They had him up there, and he did a couple of kickoffs, and they were probably just like the consistency wasn't there. You put one ball out of bounds, you're screwed. You send one ball into the back of the end zone, you hurt yourself even worse, right? There is kind of a finesse to it. And Justin Reid's been kicking he's kicked in actual games in this league. I understand that LRZ doesn't even know all, I mean, I'm sure he does now, but he doesn't even know all the technical things he can get away with based on the sport he was just playing. Who was it? Maybe it was Pacheco. Said he's still learning like the things he could do in rugby that he can't do here. And the things that he could do in rugby and maybe can get away with here and people aren't thinking about. But he's got to learn the difference between like there are things that you were doing in that sport. Don't play. And you're going to have to do it differently than the way you were doing it before. He's just got a long learning curve. And I also think it's less likely than I thought 2 weeks ago that LRZ makes a roster because his best path was to be on the kick returns and to be on the kickoffs. And now his value is diminished a little bit because of this Butker news.
And he wouldn't take up a roster spot, right? Or a practice squad spot or whatever it is. There's whatever the exemption is. I forget exactly. But yes, I'm with you. That at this point, it seems a little less likely than it did a couple weeks ago that he's for sure on the roster. It looks like someone maybe that has some growing pains of learning the game of football, which makes American football, that is, which makes plenty of sense. But we'll see. We'll see as preseason action gets going. It's one thing still to be at practice,
but he's going to.
Well, not the Chiefs, but
Hall of Fame game
Thursday.
Oh man, you gonna watch?
Of course.
You put a bet on it?
Yeah, maybe.
Betting on the Hall of Fame—that's sicko behavior.
Yeah. Look, who's playing in this thing? I honestly don't know.
The Bears.
And who else?
I just remember them.
Like Caleb Williams is not playing Thursday, is he? That early? Because that'd be awesome if that's the case. Then you definitely want to
Bears
watch.
Texans.
Do you think Caleb Williams plays Thursday? Because if he's playing Thursday, be honest, you'll watch. Even if he plays one drive, you'll watch to see Caleb Williams.
Yes, I will. He's the number one overall pick. He's supposed to be a superstar. Of course I'll watch.
Why would, if you're, like, normally we say, oh, too many preseasons. If you have a rookie quarterback, I actually think you should be happy this is the year you have the Hall of Fame game. Let Caleb Williams get one drive, then pull him from the game. And that's it.
Yeah, the Ryan's playing on Thursday, so, like, the odds of Hall of Fame game football winning over Royals in a playoff push? None.
If the starters are playing, I will watch the first drive for each team.
Yeah, it might be a dual TV situation or one versus the other, but yeah, I mean, if Caleb Williams plays a drive, will I watch Caleb Williams' highlights for a drive? Yeah,
we're going to watch the new kickoff rule in the Hall of Fame game.
Ooh, first implementation of it, which does
see what they try to do. Matter. See what the Bears try to do.
You had mentioned, we were talking Karlaftis earlier and kind of our expectations for him. And I thought the interesting thing you brought up we didn't really get to get into is the contract stuff. This always sounds weird because it makes it seem like you're rooting against somebody. In a weird way, is it better for the Chiefs financially if Karlaftis just kind of like stabilizes? Just as like a 9 or 10 sec guy?
Not when you're in the middle of a three.
You tell me in a world where you can afford Patrick Mahomes, Chris Jones, George Karlaftis, Trent McDuffie, we still assume Creed Humphrey will get a contract. I mean, that's a lot of guys being paid like the top player at their position.
Well,
Creed
would
be paid like the top center. Trent McDuffie would be paid like the top corner. In this scenario, if Karlaftis takes a leap forward, he'd be paid like one of the top five pass rushers in the league. I mean, it does create a financial issue if he becomes a superstar.
But you worry
I guess you
about
never
it then.
Root against that.
Yeah, you worry about it then. I mean, you drafted him in the first round for a reason because you hope he would turn into an elite player. That's always the dream and hope of a first round pick. And he's turning into one of the better pass rushers in football. Can he build off of the 10.5 sack season? We're going to find out. And yeah, timeline. Couple years from now, if he's consistently a double-digit sack guy, he's going to have a huge contract coming his way. Same with Trent McDuffie. And so there'll be decisions that will have to be made years from now. But of course, it's a good problem to have. Of course, you're trying to go for a three-peat. No, you don't want him to stabilize. You want to see if he can take that 10.5 to 13.
20. You don't care.
Know, like, yeah, you with all these guys.
I'm just saying from a financial element, there is a benefit to, like, he's a 9-sack guy forever. Because the price tag's a little bit different.
I hear you, but no, you want the player to be... Why he's on the rookie deal when you're not paying him big money, you want him to maximize every dollar out of that deal as well.
And then just figure it out.
Of course. I mean, that goes with any player, man. No, you always... Especially in the Chiefs circumstance. I guess there's a weird argument if you were on a crappy team that was going to win 4 games. You're like, well, we're wasting it. You're going for back-to-back-to-back championships. You need your players you've devoted draft capital into... peaking. And that's what Karlaftis is hopefully going to do this year. And peaking meaning he can get better than 10 and a half.
Here's the thing. Like, Jerry Jones was complaining about this the other day because they've got two guys who want to be paid like the top non-quarterbacks in the league, and then they have a quarterback. So they have to be paid like the top quarterback in the league at least for a year. Other teams have managed to do this. Other teams, the 49ers every year have like six of like the 20 highest contracts in the league and managed to do it.
But not quarterback, right? You know, Dak's going to be $60 million a year.
But they paid Jimmy G like a pretty healthy salary at some point. It wasn't top quarterback money, but they didn't pay him nothing and still managed to do it. Like, I think the Chiefs can afford Karlaftis and McDuffie and Creed. And it just means the rest of the roster is going to be young, real young. And the type of players you've been able to afford, like bringing in Mike Dana for a con, those are the contracts that I think go away if you have to pay everybody who's good and you drafted. Those are the, like, you're not going to be able to just pay Mike Dana. You're just going to have to draft his replacement.
Unfortunately,
or you have to find an
point,
even cheaper solution to those problems.
Unfortunately, at this point, this regime has shown that they can draft pretty damn well over the last 2.5-3 years.
Yeah.
And that's why they're in the current dynasty they're in right now. Is yes, Mahomes, of course, but it's because they've continued to build out the roster. The guys that we're now talking about needing deals maybe in a few years. They drafted Karlaftis. We all know McDuffie. You take a look at the interior of the offensive line and Creed and Trey Smith. Like, not paying the guard, in addition, already paying one guard in Joe Tooney. Well, you got a guy in Trey Smith that has been not making a whole lot of money. He's going to very soon, either here or somewhere else. But that they're going to have to keep that funnel going of talent. L'Jarius Sneed was a low-round pick. And now they're hoping Joshua Williams, who they didn't devote a ton of draft capital, and hopefully he's the number two guy. If not, it'll be a Jalen Watson type. You know, Trent McDuffie, yeah, they devoted high draft capital. But he's also now probably one of the, what, four best guys on the team?
Probably. Somebody made an incredible observation in the middle of Bobby Witt Jr.'s incredible run last night that I had not thought about. How about Dayton Moore and John Dorsey both drafting generational players for their teams and then getting the axe? Isn't that kind of wild?
Yeah,
John Dorsey
happened,
drafted Patrick Mahomes, the single best quarterback in the league, who's going to go down, I think, inarguably, is one of the three best quarterbacks. He's already one of the three best quarterbacks in the history of the NFL. Going to go down as either the first or second best quarterback in the history of the league. And then immediately got canned. Dayton Moore took Bobby Witt Jr. And then like a couple years later, he's gone. He took a generational talent, a guy who's going to be one of the best players, if already not one of the best players, he is one of the best players in all of Major League Baseball. And then he got canned. Even those players couldn't save him. Now, in fairness,
there's more nuance to both of them.
Well,
but yeah.
And Mahomes, he never got to see the fruit of his labor. He drafted him. He was fired before Patrick Mahomes ever stepped foot on a football field. And Bobby Wood Jr. was on a baseball field, but only barely before Dayton Moore was.
Yeah, I mean,
credit, kind of crazy.
Credit to both of them for evaluating. No doubt. I mean, that's incredible. But as you know, nuance is needed for both of their cases. You know, you can scout all you want if you're John Dorsey, and that was his background, and he was great at it. Great at it. But if you can't manage the cap, it doesn't matter. And that's ultimately what got him. And then in Dayton's case, he was here for a very long time, brought a championship, and there were some other issues with the game changing and certain philosophies and things like that. It doesn't mean they weren't good at evaluating certain players and all that. There was obviously quite a bit of success.
The problem is he had like a real Ofer stretch up until Bob. Like their first round picks before that, it was not a hot streak he was on. He was on an ice cold streak and got the second overall pick. Everyone seemed to think Adley Rutschman was like the absolute slam dunk number one. And Adley Rutschman, been a
very good as well.
Player.
He's not Bobby Wood Jr.
But right now, if you could redo it and you were the Orioles, you would not take Adley Rutschman. You would take Bobby Wood Jr. You would reverse your decision. And I guess you'd have Gunnar Henderson and Bobby Wood Jr.
Well, they wouldn't have drafted Gunnar Henderson.
No, and draft somebody else. Right, that reverse. But you get the point.
Yeah.
Like it was such a funny thing that I hadn't really thought about. I'm like, damn. So both the general, like typically, you know how this works in sports. If you draft the guy, like sometimes drafting like the absolute hero buys you so much juice that like we're still wondering at the end, like, how the hell does this person still have a job? And you're like, well, you know, they drafted Patrick Mahomes, so you got to kind of just give him a little bit of runway here. And on the opposite side, it's not.
It's typically a football thing because of the quarterback and the value. And I know in John Dorsey's case, it didn't matter. And that's, again, the cap was a problem. But typically, if you're a GM and you draft, pick any of the young, if you draft CJ Stroud, that general manager down there, probably going to be there for a while, you know, unless you screw up. You know, you draft Joe Burrow, you're probably going to be the GM there for a while unless you screw up. In baseball, because the timeline takes so long, it's less likely to save you.
I think it's a great example of how it's a team sport, you know, where no matter how good that one player is, you still have to have something around them, whether it's football or baseball.
For sure, yeah.
And one player can only make such an impact on a team, and that's a great example of that.
Yeah, and the text line, we know, someone says Veach was the main guy behind Mahomes. We all know. We've heard this, but he wasn't
I'm
the
not saying Veach doesn't deserve his credit. He wasn't the GM of record.
GM of record was John Dorsey. For this conversation and the comparison that was brought up about Dayton drafting Bobby and John Dorsey drafting Mahomes and then both not being with the organization.
What's funny, because you could say the same thing kind of about Dayton in the sense that, like, well, Dayton saw, you know, like maybe Dayton was the, like, nobody needed to lead the charge. Bobby Wood Jr. was the obvious second overall pick. Gold, if you had the day before, they're like, Gold, bad news. You have to draft for the Royals. Now you'd be like, okay, I'm just going to take, nailed it, Bobby Wood Jr. Like, it was the obvious pick. Adley Rutschman and Bobby Wood Jr. were going to be the players taken one and two in that draft, no matter who the team
was. Yeah, I only would have drafted All-Stars, actually. I just would have only drafted All-Stars.
You would have just All-Star after All-Star.
Yeah, I just would have only.
Who else got taken in Bobby Wood Jr.'s draft?
I only would have drafted All-Stars in my entire time. I don't know. You know, that's all I would have done.
I'll be honest, because the Royals and where they are, like, for years, I've been, like, sick where they were, like, one pick off of, like, they were bad, but not quite bad enough when, like, the number one overall player, when you're like, God, they couldn't have the number one overall pick the year that guy was number one. It's like the Bryce Harper year. Like, as many bad years the Royals had, you're like, damn, you couldn't have the number one pick that year?
That's what we were thinking at that time. I remember that. I mean, that's how we were feeling.
Some people were talking about that with Adley Rutschman.
Someone says, I guess the Orioles, they could have still drafted Gunnar Henderson, and they would have had A-Rod and Jeter, basically, in their infield, on the left side of the infield.
That would have been kind of stupid. Thank God that
happened. Or in the middle of their infield, I guess.
To be honest, I'd have been pretty bummed.
Well, Jeter's your favorite guy, too, so I know that's great.
Overrated.
We don't need to go down this road again.
Overrated.
I agree with Cody.
The hate is disgusting.
I didn't say bad.
The hate is disgusting.
Over 10-part documentary.
He did a nice interview with Mahomes last year.
Oh, he did. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, you liked that though, didn't you?
I kind of remember that now.
you liked that interview.
Man, I'm looking back through that draft. What are the other all-stars you would have drafted at the... Man, Gunnar Henderson was taken 42 overall. People didn't miss on Bobby Wood Jr. They couldn't take him. He was taken way too early. Everyone missed on Gunnar Henderson. Entire damn league passed on him once. This is the thing, man. Baseball's impossible in this regard. It's just so hard. I guess in retrospect, the same way we were talking about Bobby Wood Jr., if I were the Royals that year, I'd have taken Gunnar with my second pick. He could have been playing third right now.
There's your leadoff hitter. Perfect.
Probably, so I solved it. Did they have a second pick before Gunnar was taken? Technically, they didn't, although they were.
Well, with the power from Gunnar, I don't know. Who would be leading? Would Bobby lead off in that scenario and Gunnar would be batting second?
Or they hit second and third.
There you go. Move everybody down a little bit. You'd still need a lead. I don't know.
He would just hit lead off.
Yeah. Just have Gunnar lead or have Bobby lead off and Gunnar bat second in that scenario.
Alec Marsh was their second pick in that year's draft.
He made it to the big leagues. He started games all year.
That means that's not a miss. Yeah. Michael Massey was their third. This was a hell of a year. 2019. Dayton went out high. That was probably his second to last draft because he was obviously here for the COVID year, so he would have drafted in 2020.
Remember, the issue was the pitching. What was it, 2017 or 2018? They went all in pitching, and Brady Singer, of course, is up, but everybody else has been disappointing.
Has gotten up, but hasn't made it work. Yeah, no, you're right. That's the point. It was a really interesting point somebody had made. It's just weird. Very rarely in sports do you see superstars drafted by a GM and neither of them are employed. They have the number one player in baseball and the number one player in football, and neither of those GMs are currently employed by the teams that took them. That's all.
Yeah, I'm trying to think in the NFL right now, the top tier young quarterbacks. I mean, Josh Allen, Brandon Bean or whatever, the Bills GM, just drafted Josh Allen. He's still there. He's found in the hot seat a little bit. He just got a new contract.
Bengals GM had the job for 15 damn years before he took Joe Burrow. He's certainly not going to lose the job now, right? John Lynch has been the GM. Like, even if you just go to, like, Purdy or some of those others, you just don't lose the job very often. Again, Patrick, I'll be honest. Let's just go in reverse. Even with all this cap trouble. If Patrick Mahomes had started his first year and he did the same thing, 50 touchdowns, 5,000 yards, John Dorsey would still be employed by this team. If Patrick Mahomes would have been allowed to put up the stats he did his first year as a starter and John Dorsey was the GM of record then, I don't think he loses his job that fast. Maybe he's fired by now, but he would have still been the GM for a couple of years under those. You can't fire a guy whose quarterback just goes for 50 touchdowns and 5,000 yards.
No, but if you can't manage the cap and you're forced to cut people you shouldn't have to cut because you can't manage the cap, that's not a sustainable thing either.
No, it's not.
Either. So I hear you. That
I'm
would
just
have
saying
been
you
would have
kept his job.
I think I'd probably agree for one more year.
But Veach was the better choice. I'm just saying Dorsey would have kept his job longer. That's all.
No, I think that's about right. All right, that's the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Up next, we'll get to what's trending, and then right back into the Royals. You mentioned Bobby Wood Jr. there in that conversation. We got to talk about one of the most dominant two-inning stretches we've seen in baseball.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.